Well, welcome back to Only Stans. I know you missed us.
And we're on video this time.
We're back again, and you can see our faces, which is maybe a negative, but that remains to be determined.
Welcome back to Only Stans, y'all. It's season two.
We are the Only Stans.
Yeah, we're going to have a theme song soon. It's going to sound... There might be like ukulele and a trap beat in it. We're planning on ukuleles and trap beats, so look out for it.
That's our aesthetic. Well, I'm Ryan.
I'm Taylor.
And we're here to spill the tea. We know you missed it. It's brewed. Piping hot.
Steeped.
We are in month 3 of quarantine. How are you holding up?
Barely. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm doing things like this so I stay sane.
Yeah. Month 3 of quarantine. Month 11 now since I felt the touch of a man.
And you could almost donate blood.
Oh, that's so true. I'm almost ready to be a homophobe, fully fledged. Just biding my time, waiting for the day.
God. Now that LA is closed till August, basically, I mean, summer's canceled officially. I have Speedos that I just straight up, I guess I'm not wearing this summer. They're new. I was really very excited.
I ordered a swimsuit 2 weeks ago. My therapist says that denial is one of the essential stages of grief, though. So
what are you grieving?
I'm grieving the loss of my life, my sense of normal.
Yeah. Hope y'all are staying well out there. All you listeners, stay safe.
But the music is kept coming.
Yes. Music actually is kind of slaying right now.
So I wanted to ask you, have you noticed any change or any difference in like the way that you're consuming music now compared to when life was normal?
Yes, because my main thing is how I'm like where I'm consuming music, because I guess so usually before we need like a before Christ and after Christ, like BC before Corona, after Corona. BC, I was listening to music in the car at work, like when I was preoccupied with other things, and so I could kind of like tune them out a little bit more or like not focus on them. But now, since I'm working at home and I'm constantly ingesting music while I'm working, but I feel like I'm paying attention now, and I can't listen to the same playlist twice in one day, and I have to like have a wider variation, otherwise I get annoyed. And I think it's because I'm sitting at home all the time and it's like I don't have any opportunity to
Yep, I totally agree. It never like really dawned on me until now how much I used my commute to listen to so much music. Mm. And that was like, you know, I would listen to music in the office and stuff, like at work too, off and on. But like really consistently, I looked forward to my commute to kind of curate my playlist, especially because I live far from my office and I'm in the car for probably an hour and a half a day normally.
Oh, wow.
So I had a lot of time on my hands, and now I don't have that time, and I'm already distracted at home, so I'm not listening to music because then I would get zero done.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to cling to my source of income for dear life while I can.
So you're listening to much less music is what you're saying.
I am, yeah. And it's, you know, granted, that's still probably a few hours a day, but... You know, down from, you know, 10 hours a day sometimes, you know, or more. So it's definitely changing my consumption habits. And I kind of wonder if, you know, the longer this stays our normal, you know, as long as this is status quo, if that will change for kind of the industry as a whole.
Mm. Interesting.
Interesting thing just to ponder.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm also one of those people that can listen to music while I work. Like, it doesn't affect my productivity. Most of the time it increases it, actually. So I hadn't thought about like people who can't or don't listen to music while they work. Like if that or your commute was the main time that you're listening, then yeah, it makes sense. Like you're not listening to nearly as much music as you used to. Right. So I wonder if that's like affecting like record sales or, you know, like streams that count towards a record sale. And
it's affected my streams for sure, but that's interesting. Not in a way that I would be too terribly concerned, but
yeah. But I mean, if it's a lot of people,
there's also the people who are probably, you know, too much time on their hands and only streaming Say So on repeat for on dozens of devices per individual for hours and hours and hours and hours a day. So there's also, you know, those. So it balances out. But, you know.
Can we talk about it?
Let's talk about it. Because that is the story of the week, isn't it? I've got to say, I personally loved like feeling like I was in the middle of like Stan World War III. It was very thrilling for me to just kind of watch everything play out on Twitter. The battle for the number one single between Doja Cat featuring Nicki Minaj, Say So, twice, the two fucking versions, and Megan Thee Stallion featuring Beyonce's Savage Remix. I know which one I preferred because I stan talent.
I think we preferred the same one.
Because taste. But it was a battle. And in the end,
I mean, I really thought Savage was going to pull through because it charted higher in the week before. Like it was 4 and Say So was 6. So I was like, okay, mm-hmm. Savage has got this. And then the Barbs went crazy. And then Nicki Minaj was making international headlines. But what was that? Used to be bi, but now I'm just hetero.
Oh my God.
Which, what was that? I think it was very purposeful. She was like, I'm going to get my number one through controversy. And she did it. And I mean, it's been 10 years, I guess, over.
I mean, they did the damn thing. So Barbs, kudos to you. And you know, I am not insulting Barbs. Like, I am a recovered Barb. But I was just shocked. I was in awe at the lengths that people were going to. Like, I saw multiple videos of people with literally dozens of devices all simultaneously streaming Say So. There was not one, not two, not three, but 4 different versions available to purchase. So there's standard edition Say So. There's clean version Say So. Oh, there's Say So remix number 1. And then there is Say So remix number 2. The original version that accidentally got leaked onto the streaming platforms worldwide first.
Yes.
And then it was replaced with the Bi Not Hetero, which is a mess in and of itself.
It is. She did that on purpose. To stir up some shit to make headlines. She did. Because otherwise, why?
It was very, very well done on her part. I also want to throw out there that I think a big contributing factor of Say So going number 1 was the tweet where she was like, I'll show you my boobs.
Doja Cat?
Yes. Because straight guys already go up for Doja Cat. I don't know what it is about her. I mean, she's a gorgeous girl, of course. She is. I mean, she already has the straight guys like on lock. And when she said she was going to show her boobs, they were like, oh, so we're getting this song to number 1.
They're actually streaming it.
At any cost. Ugh. And then she didn't even do it.
She scammed y'all. She conned y'all. I want to... Okay, listen. I saw Barbs doing some insane things, saying insane things on Twitter. Some of them said they legit were not listening to Savage until the week was up because they didn't want the streets to count towards
you. Will not get my stream.
Yeah, I was like, this is actually ridiculous. But I mean, they did it. They made it happen. They made Nicki go number one for the first time in her career. Doja Cat got her first number one. And so did Dr. Luke after 5 years.
Oh, my God. 6 years, actually. But
6 years?
Yeah, it was 2014, I think, was his last number one hit. And that is
something. For those of you that don't know, Dr. Luke produced this song. He produced this song and another song for Doja Cat. Is he like credited as Dr. Luke, or is it?
That's the kicker. So
yeah, it's a pseudonym.
He has gone to every length to disguise himself. Obviously, he can't. So the thing about credits is that you can go by an alias for your producing credit, but you can't get your songwriting royalties unless you go by your legal first and last name.
Oh, yeah.
So he'll always be exposed because you have to give the producer or writer credit in this day and age. So he can't hide himself, but he calls himself just Kaz. He calls himself Tyson Tracks, and I think that's the alias that he's using with Doja Cat. He calls himself Made in China, which is, that's the one that he's been using for all of Kim Petras's work. And I mean all of it. I looked it up today. And she has literally never released a song without him.
Yeah.
Like, on both albums.
Makes me feel things.
The EP. Like, yeah. Like, so that begs another question. Do we, of course we care. But, you know, there's always conversation about cancel culture and, you know, all that bullshit. Do we cancel Doja Cat for working with an accused assaulter? Deep sigh. Indeed.
It's like, it's wild. And it sucks that I'm personally upset about it because it's involving these women, these pop girls, into his mess that I wish were not involved in it at all. And so I think about Kim Petras.
These are talented girls. Like, and my feeling is that they could be successful without him.
But clearly Kim doesn't think so.
Which is why I wonder if she's like signed to some sort of 360 deal where she can't, you know, like she literally like legally can't release anything without him, or like if there's some sort of something we're missing or that she can't necessarily speak about publicly that is, I really don't know, but it's just like, you know, she has been confronted about this several times, Kim Petras in particular. I don't think it's really come up with Doja Cat as much because Say So, while it's now undeniably her biggest hit, it wasn't necessarily how she made her name, you know? So it's not really come up as much yet. But
I mean, it just sucks that Dr. Luke was never really canceled in the sense that he still has he's always had such a strong foothold in the industry. Like, he's made so many hits that no matter how exiled he might be, people still want to work with him because he is that influential. He's and can maker. Make a fucking pop song, like, undeniably.
He's like, he and Max Martin are the juggernauts of pop music.
But it's also frustrating when I think about. It's frustrating for me when I think about people like Katy Perry, who
now can't get a hit without
him. But it's like they also got dragged at the possibility of Katy got dragged at the possibility of her working with Dr. Luke, that it made her have to pivot to something else. Whereas these girls are still getting celebrated for it. And it's also about likability. It's about, like, Katy was obviously past her prime and had a lot of controversies thrown at her. And the Dr. Luke thing was another, like, anvil on her career. Otherwise, but for, like, Doja Cat, it's not even a factor. Like, people don't even want to talk about it.
Right. It's not even something that's brought up.
Which is
that's
annoying.
Why, you know, yeah, and so as I thought Katy. We had a responsibility, at least, as, you know, a form of media to mention it. My personal take is really that the way that I see it, it's hard enough for women to succeed in the music industry with some semblance of, you know, creative control. It's harder for women of color to succeed it's harder for trans women to succeed. So in the cases of Doja Cat and Kim Petras, I don't necessarily fault them as much for kind of doing what they have to do to build their careers and get ahead. Or at least kind of the way that I see it. Not that it necessarily excuses or forgives it, but, you know, everything's kind of stacked against you, and, you know, you have the opportunity to work with this massive producer and, you know, kind of build a name for yourself. I understand kind of the reasoning for why they would. But it does suck that Dr. Luke has another number one.
Yeah, and it signals to the world that he can still make number ones in 2020, that he is still a number one producer, which is...
He's still fucking good at what he does.
Yeah, and it might give the okay for other artists to work with him and not be afraid of that backlash that they might have expected when all the Kesha stuff first started happening.
Right. And at that point, that was like, you know, 2015 or so, and he didn't have a hit until this point, or at least not a number one. So, yeah, that's a bummer. But, you know, it's not a bummer. Four Black women in the top two of the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah.
First time that's ever happened. Two female collaborations at number one and number two is a very impressive feat. And Meg and Beyonce should still be very proud. You know, not like Beyonce don't have 10 number ones already, but...
What'd you say?
I think number one next week is predicted to be a battle between, as much as it, like, really deeply, like, down in my soul pains me to even, like, say his name, 6ix9ine and Ariana with Justin Bieber.
Oh, that song is everywhere. Well, I'm okay with number two, I guess.
But Savage is gonna... It could rebound off the strength of, like, TikTok and stuff. It's still a trend, right? Do the kids still do the Savage Challenge these days?
And they have an updated one with the Beyonce verse, too.
Oh, that's true. It's so much harder. I'm not going to try that.
Yeah.
Looks like it'll make me sweaty.
Full, like, dance crew choreography.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no, like, what I look like. This is not America's Best Dance Crew, no man.
If you want to see some real ass, baby, here's your chance.
Also, just have to mention that the line about jumping to put your jeans on really still pains me. I'm looking for smaller jeans actively so that I can relate. No luck yet, but I'll get there. I also did like 10 squats, so sooner or later, that'll be me. Yeah, baby, I'll feel your pain. Because I just want to relate. Why did I mention?
I have related. I used to relate when I was a little bit thicker. I related at one point in my life. Does that count?
Yes, because I've never been there. One day. It's fine.
It'll happen for you.
It's a really deep-seated dream of mine.
What's that thing on your bed back there?
Oh, this old thing?
What is that? Oh my god, it's so pretty.
It's so big. And
how many pounds?
I can barely lift it. I can barely lift this right now. It's like actually 50 pounds.
It's bigger than your torso.
Because I'm so skinny.
Skinny legend.
But don't we look good together?
Rihanna.
For those of you listening at home, we have a video now. We're on YouTube. It's the massive fucking Rihanna book. It'll be the centerpiece of my coffee tables for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, no joke.
I
haven't taken it out of plastic yet, but I'll give a full detailed review. I should have done, like, an unboxing video.
Oh my god, you should. You still can.
It came in, like, the bougiest box, too. It was, like, all black and matte, and it had, like, the big the stand that's like modeled after her hands. Hold on, I'll show that to you.
Ooh. Wow.
Oh yes. It's as big as my face.
Her hands are really that size.
That would be like inhuman. But it is the size of my hand, so it's not out of the question.
Yeah.
But yes, gorgeous. Best $200 I've ever spent.
Well, I can't wait to visit one day and
you can't touch it. you can look at it, but it'll be in a glass display case.
With those in a museum where they have like put in the glass thing and you have to insert your hands in gloves to flip the page. Mm-hmm.
It'll be a climate controlled environment, like humidifier.
Exactly 67 degrees.
Yes. And I will treasure this forever because that's really important to me. So yeah, very recommended purchase if you're looking for a way to spend your stimulus check like me.
I paid off a credit card.
Responsibility.
I'm trying to get out of debt.
Crazy talk.
I need freedom. Financial freedom.
I'll die in debt. Money's not real.
I'm trying to get out of credit card debt so then I can start real traveling. Like, I want to go to Europe and not have to spend $2,000 on my credit card.
Traveling is canceled. When are you going to travel again?
Exactly. Next year. So that's why I'm trying to pay off my credit card debt before travel is available again.
That's actually a good idea. I won't follow suit because I don't do things that are good for me, but that's a good idea. Living our best quarantine lives. Well, happy birth to the Antichrist and congratulations to Grimes and her
boo
Elon Musk.
Oh. Yay, Grimes.
But is he not? What's your interpretation of the pronunciation of this name? It's like X A E A E. Like, somebody on TikTok told me that it's pronounced Kyle.
I read it as Angela.
Angela, that is beautiful.
I think it's
Or just like the noise that Heidi in Closet made when she walked into the working paper. Yes. Big congrats to them. I just wanted to give a big shout out to that. Because the saga of that relationship is quite possibly the best pop culture moment of the 21st century. Just everything about it. Mm-hmm. The trajectory of their love story, the failed threesome with Azealia Banks where they trapped her in a basement and she chased them throughout Elon Musk's mansion Scooby-Doo style, the pregnancy and now their unique approach to parenting. I can't wait to see what's in store for that child. Big congrats to them. And when the world inevitably ends, the timing is right. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah, I don't speak on demons, so I have nothing to say.
I don't speak on demons, just to them.
Yeah. Ooh.
Just I'm excited. I'm thrilled. Congrats. And the Rah Rah Bitch is back with an album. We have a release date now. Lady Gaga, Chromatica, May 29th. It's happening officially.
Allegedly.
No, truly. This is it now. She gave a track list and everything. It's got to be real. No more coronavirus delays. Gaga is here to save us from quarantine.
Are you going
to
get the Gaga jock strap?
Okay, the way that I literally manifested that... When she first released the merchandise, there was a thong and there were briefs, and I was like, why didn't she just make a jockstrap? And I told Nick, and I was like she's gonna come up with the jockstrap next. And then, lo and behold, a week later, there's a Chromatica jockstrap. You best believe I ordered. You better get your matching one. There's no bottom at the club that will be without it. It'll be like a uniform. Yeah. It'll be like a calling card. You know, you won't even have to, do the awkward thing anymore where you have that conversation. So are you are you a bottom? And you just show your Chromatica jockstrap. You get the memo immediately.
Well, I'm not a bottom, so I'll like look out for the jock straps out there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. What you heard.
Okay, but let's talk about this track list. Because that's what I'm most excited about. How did she get Blackpink out of their dungeon for a collab?
For real. What is that gonna sound like?
I have no idea. I'm so excited. I've never been more excited for a collab, I don't think.
I'm pretty excited.
I'm so hyped for it. I don't even give a fuck about the Ariana Grande collaboration, honestly. It's like, that'll sound like a pop song, whatever. But like, Blackpink.
What mind. Is, oh, I had a great question and I just forgot it. Oh, what's the song called?
Oh, it's called Sour Candy. Doesn't it? Oh, yeah. That's just cool. It's just gonna be cool. I am excited. And actually, I think that marks a pretty big moment for K-pop girl groups in the US. Because, I mean, everyone pretty much knows what BTS is at this point.
Yeah. You
know? Even if they don't necessarily, even if you can't name a song, you're aware of BTS probably just because of the sheer mania that surrounds them.
Mm-hmm.
But girl groups don't really get the same sort of fanfare. So for a star as big as Lady Gaga to collaborate with Blackpink is actually a pretty big deal in terms of K-pop's like stateside, you know, they call, what do they call it? They have a word for it in Korean that's like, it means like the wave or something like that. But it's like, you know, the Korean culture being spread internationally. I can't think of the word. What? Oh, it's Hallyu.
Shangela?
Something like that. But this is that. And Elton John is the other one. She really set out to give the gays everything they wanted on this album.
Those are three great features.
Like, literally, it when that track list leaked, I thought it, I was like, there's no way that's real. That has to be fake because that's Elton like John. Straight out of some fag's imagination. And it was real. I'm still in shock. I think we're getting Rain On Me tomorrow, which is the oh song God. With Ariana Grande. So that'll be a thrill. Unless I'm lying.
Ooh.
And I could be lying. What's today? Wednesday. Oh, today's Wednesday. So actually on Friday.
Yeah. Thursday at 9 p.m.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
or 11 for y'all, yeah.
Nighttime on Thursday.
Well, hopefully she won't record the video on an iPhone, but otherwise, I'm excited. That's a great choreo.
That is a classic. I'll never forget it.
That was one of the last songs that came out before Corona hit and closed all the bars. That's true.
Wow. I did get to hear one set of bar.
Yeah. I learned the dance so I could go out the next weekend.
Wow. The first time that I hear the Savage remix at a gay bar, game over.
Oh my God. I drove around the other day.
Evacuate the dance floor.
I drove around the other day just to feel something, and I played Savage so loud. I forgot what it felt like to listen to a song in a car. It felt so good.
And I was in Houston when it came out. So it's like,
oh my God, the whole city.
Yeah, like the energy. I wasn't seeing anybody, but I could just feel it in the air. Buzz. Just, you know, the buzz. Yes, just the vibe.
The bees buzzing.
No, that was just the bees. But I mean, that, and what do you think people are going to do when the Say So remix comes on at the club? Probably nothing.
A fucking TikTok dance. I'm honestly like sick of that song.
Which one? There's so many.
Okay, I listened to the Nicki Minaj version once, maybe twice. I don't even think I got... Okay, because she has the first verse in the beginning. Is there another one?
I only listened to it once as well.
Okay. So I listened to the first verse she does, and then Doja Cat comes in. And then the chorus came in, and I was like, okay, that's enough. So I turned it off.
Okay, yeah, let's revisit that for a second, because the difference to me is that Beyonce and Megan did like an old school remix where you cut new vocals, new verses, you rearrange the song, you like kind of like make it into a new mix.
Yeah.
And the girls these days have gotten lazy with the remix. Remix does not just mean slap a rap verse on it and call it a day.
Nicki Minaj did not even hear the song. She said, "What's the BPM?"
Right.
And went in the studio to a metronome. She said, "Here's your little verse."
She said, "You know what? I'm gonna give you two. Take it and get out of my face." She said, "You could put out two versions. Get your coins. I'm done.
Cut the check. One you want.
Cut the check and cut the cameras. Dead ass.
Like Nicki Minaj, sing the song on camera challenge. Go. What does it sound like? What does Say So sound like? The chorus. Quickly.
Say what? I did a remix for who? Oh yeah. She better put some respect on it. That's a number one for her.
Yeah, I know she's happy because she is posting about it like crazy.
Well,
whereas Beyonce couldn't even promote the fucking Savage song until Mother's Day, until it was too late.
Absolutely wild that she couldn't do it alone.
That Megan couldn't. Oh, that Nicki.
No, that Beyonce. I mean, Beyonce's done it 10 times. Nicki couldn't do it alone.
Yeah.
And she had to hop on a new girl's wave for that. And like, you know, props to Doja because, I mean, she's capitalizing on her moment right now. This is her breakout song and her breakout moment. But Nicki could, like, Super Bass, Anaconda. Even I think, what else are her solo?
Starships.
Top 10 hits. Starships could have gone number one. What's even Chun-Li, I think, was the top 10.
Yeah, it was.
Bang
was
like Bang didn't go number one. It's like, it took Say So.
And so many features she's been on.
Yeah.
It's wild.
This is like her, I think I saw a statistic that this is like her 109th top 10, or not top 10, but Billboard Top 100 entry.
Yeah. Wild.
Which ties her with Elvis. She's probably still behind Drake, though.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Drake is
somebody the other day.
I think Drake has the most now. He passed the person who had the most. I think Drake is the most.
The Glee cast. That's who had the most.
Oh, God. Glee. The power of Glee.
But who's worse? Who's Answer worse? Carefully.
Glee or Drake?
Yes.
Glee had its moments.
Let's have that conversation because I'm sorry. I'm a recovered. What are Drake stans called?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about Glee. Okay, wait. I just want to mention. I remember the other day, out of the blue, Lea Michele singing like screaming "Take a Bow," by Rihanna in the middle of the hallway. Do you remember that? Like at the locker, it was like episode 3.
You're triggering my PTSD.
It's very entertaining. Oh God, it's such a mess. That show was a mess. That
my recent camp. Glee memory was, you know what was camp was Mercedes singing "Bust Your Windows" about the gay boy.
But you busted my heart.
That
looking camp straight in the eye.
Hello. In that moment, nothing has ever been more camp than that.
Oh, God. What an insane show.
But Drake really? Is giving them a run for their money. Drake is camp.
Yes.
He is. At this point, he spat that tootsie slide. He shot that right out. He said, "Y'all gonna stream this shit anyway. Here you go. Get out of my face. Don't ask me about nothing. I gave you a TikTok challenge. Don't talk to me."
And I like it. I like that song.
I'm just exhausted.
Yeah. As soon as it came out, I was like, this is going number one. He doesn't have to do work.
He doesn't have to do anything. He's not trying anymore. He hasn't made an effort in years. He's like, "Y'all gonna buy this shit. I know you're gonna stream it regardless. So... take what I give you and shut the fuck up. That's it."
Did you listen to the album?
I don't have the gumption.
I thought most of it was kind of boring. There were a couple songs. I know, I think it was Chicago Freestyle with Giveon. Is that how you say his name? Giveon.
Yeah. Giveon is, he is mad talented. I like him a lot.
I like that song, and then there's one more that I like that's on my new finds playlist. You can find it in the one with Playboi Carti below. Maybe. But most of it I thought was boring or sounded like, but it's a he just like fine-tuned some of his demos over the years, right? Because it sounds like that.
I mean, he's been putting out the same song in different variations for like a solid 6 years at this point.
Yeah. Do straight guys ever get tired of those like sad fuckboy vibes? Like,
my bitch apparently not, because they send it straight to number one.
I guess every time. And I did too. I could be Drake.
Maybe
I learn how to rhyme. Podcast. Huh?
Our podcast should just be different impressions of Drake. Let's write a new Drake song every episode.
Pick a song.
I could do like a Hold On, We're Going Home, like sad boy with pseudo deep lyric, like sing rapping.
But you have to make it about like lasagna.
Ooh. I could sing about lasagna for days.
You could do better.
That's a good song though.
Did you use the pasta water? I could figure it out. I'll make it work.
I'm into this. That's a good offshoot. I think we should dig deeper.
Pivot.
Okay. But I thought it would be fun for us to do a kind of catch-up speed round on some of the releases of the last, you know, month and a half or so. Just kind of give, you know, knee-jerk opinion, like first thing that comes to mind.
Let's do it.
So let's do that. And we can start with Miss JoJo and her new album, Good to Know.
How is there a time limit to these opinions or just their fast thoughts?
I'll give you 10 seconds.
Amazing, incredible, talented. She is the moment. R&B never queen.
Before seen.
The R&B girls are shaking right now. Don't it. Talk down. Best song of the year.
I love like, comeback. She's grown now.
Comeback.
When I heard comeback for the first time and I realized that she was saying come, JoJo, my JoJo saying come. Oh, game over. I was like, this is my album. That's it. I feel like I can say come now. Because she did. She gave me the right.
Were you not saying it before?
No, I would bleep it. I would censor myself. I would just say,
like insects. Like, I just bleep.
Yeah. I'm going to bleep.
Hot. Wow.
Yeah. People think it's really sexy. Okay, next up. Sam Smith and Demi Lovato, I'm Ready.
Oh, I forgot about that song.
Oh, that's all there is to say.
Yeah, the verse was so cool, and then the chorus is so anticlimactic. And like,
okay, when you said the chorus sounded like a vocal warm up, I like sent me to the moon.
Oh man,
it's literally what we would do in our acapella group.
Yes. College. Oh, and then the fucking like. Church choir comes in and I was like rolling my eyes. It's cringy.
My issue is that Sam Smith thinks the church choir is the solution to all life's problems.
Yeah.
Rina Sawayama, her self-titled album.
My new queen. You showed her to me, but you were playing songs that I did not like.
Okay. Her singles were a little different than the overall like final direction of the album, I think. But they're buzzy.
Yeah. I remember hearing Cherry. I remember you playing Cherry, and I like Cherry.
And I played, like, Take Me As I Am for you a while ago, which is on her first EP.
Okay.
It's the one that sounds like Britney Spears.
Maybe.
I played XS for you in San Diego.
Yeah.
I definitely showed you STFU, but I knew you wouldn't like that one, but I just thought it would be funny to show it to you.
That's the one I did not like at all.
But Bad Friend, I really could have written that. Chosen Family's beautiful. I love Snakeskin as a closer. Rina's that girl.
I'm obsessed with Who's Gonna Save You Now. I literally play it at least once a day. Maybe every time I go running, I play it. I just play it so much. It's gonna be in my like top 10 of this year.
Yeah, that's definitely a good one. It's very, very solid album. Excellent debut showing.
Yeah.
Fiona Apple, fetch the bolt cutters. I feel like you have to say it like that.
Ladies, 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 ladies.
Your audio cut out right there. That was so merciful.
Oh, God.
How do we feel about that album? Because I'm going to keep it real, Chief. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess.
I'm not an enlightened, like, Pitchfork girl, you know?
10?
So,
didn't they give it 10 out of 10?
They did give it a 10 out of 10. That's
delusion. Delusion.
It's shocking.
And those girls are so mean at Pitchfork. Like, I thought I reviewed, like, I was a harsh critic. They are savage.
And I don't think they've ever given, I don't know who else they've given 10s. I don't have, like, a comprehensive list, but I feel like it's probably only, like, the Beatles.
Yeah. It's been years since they gave out another 10.
It's, so, I mean, maybe it's one that I'll need to, like, revisit. I like Shamika. I don't know who Shamika is, but it just sounds like she has a black friend and she decided to write a song about her, so I appreciate that.
Someone told me, because I did a react video about this this album, and it was a lot. Someone told me Shamika was, like,
her middle name?
An older kid who saw that she was getting bullied and was telling her, you don't have to put up with this. That's what I think the story is about.
Huh. Okay.
Shamika said I had potential. It's just weird. It's a weird. It's a lot. Not my favorite jam. It's not easy listening.
Yeah, it's one that you have to like kind of sit down and like with your pen and pad and like write notes.
And I think
and I don't really have time for that.
I think the structures are kind of chaotic.
Like purposefully so. I get how she like kind of wanted to use like found and like instruments and like, you know, improvised sounds and some very cool, like, you know, I heard there's like one where it's like a chair beating on the ground is like the basis of the beat or something. And it's like, that's very cool. But I just, it's not easy listening. Like he said.
Yeah. I think especially with like the tempo changes and like weird instruments and then the weird, like it's hard to relax into the song, and that's what gives me anxiety.
Yeah,
I think that's why I like Ladies so much, because I couldn't I could relax at that one.
Maybe it's designed to give you anxiety. Maybe that's like a therapy form. Maybe, I'll ask my therapist about it and get back to you.
Maybe.
Let's see what else we have. Oh, Selena Gomez, Boyfriend.
I want a boyfriend.
That was, why didn't she put that on the regular album?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that album for like a week and a half, and then I just kind of got rid of it. But it made me revisit it, and I was like, she really can make
it's a song good.
If she wants to.
It's a solid album. I listened to it for 2 weeks straight, actually. And then I still listen to People You Know and Vulnerable, like, occasionally.
Yeah, Vulnerable.
I really like Boyfriend
should have been on the regular track list, because it would be like one of the better songs on it.
Yeah. So Boyfriend slaps. The music video is so good.
Let's see. We have Kim Petras, Malibu. Again, with the Dr. Luke.
I don't really like it.
She's just getting a little predictable.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of boring. And I don't like one-word choruses.
And not even just because I don't like Dr. Luke, but like in general, I think she needs to branch out a little bit more with her sound and kind of give us something a little bit more unexpected.
Yeah.
Because I think she's got really great potential, and she could be like, she could be a pop star if she kind of spread her wings. And hopefully she has the, you know, creative license to do so, and she's not stuck under Dr. Luke's thumb for the rest of her career or something like that. Hopefully she didn't sign a bad deal. But
yeah, hopefully.
But Malibu's not it for me.
Yeah. I don't like the one word chorus mostly. Yeah. It's just like kind of boring, and then the key change happens. It's like
fine. Did you see that little like at home video that she did for it with all the celebrity cameos?
I didn't, because I'm sick of those.
You know what it was serving me? Like very Call Me Maybe.
Really?
You remember when they did that for Call Me Maybe and it got really big
because
Justin Bieber and like a bunch of other people were in that video lip syncing to it? It was like, I felt like I was trying to recreate that a little bit.
Okay, maybe I'll watch it. It's a like, it's a lot of celebrities too. It's not just like Paris Hilton.
It's like not super worth it, but
I'll give the song another try.
Perhaps. Okay, stuck with you, Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber.
I watched the video when it came out and I never listened to it again.
Yeah, he had been threatening a collaboration with Ariana Grande for the longest time.
Threatening?
Yeah, because now it's arrived. It's like, I feel like I've been harmed. No, it's fine. It's a cute little quarantine song, I guess. I don't know why it took them, you know, this.
I also just think it's weird because a lot of people are like quarantining alone. And I just feel bad.
I'm not stuck with anybody but my roommate.
And then like,
she's lovely, but
I personally am not a fan of all these quarantine videos of all the celebrities like, here we are in our houses. And that's why I guess I didn't really want to watch the Malibu video. I think it's boring.
And they're not relatable.
Yeah, unless it's like Chocolate, like Ari Lennox and Kiana Lade did. Like, that was chill. That was a cute vibe.
Okay, this, that was like, another song on the list.
People hugging.
That is a great song.
I love that song.
Kiana Lade is solid. Yeah.
I haven't listened to it yet in full, but I found like 3 songs that I really like and I play them all the time. But I need to listen to the whole thing.
She's very talented.
She is.
I think she deserves to kind of break through a little bit more because I think a lot of people still don't know her name very well. But she's been grinding since she was like a teenager. She might still be a teenager. I don't know how old she is. Like 20?
She's early 20s now.
Yeah.
X fucked me up when I heard it last year.
I
was also going through some shit and it was like dead on with my situation then. And it just like, the first time I heard it, I literally cried. She's such a beautiful voice.
She has a beautiful voice and she's a beautiful girl and she writes some beautiful songs.
Yeah.
So
I mean, she's probably not right.
Check, check, check.
Yeah. Yes.
She's helping.
She's some editing here and there.
In the room, you know, change a word, get a third.
Yeah.
Of the publishing rights. All right. Let's see. Charlie XCX Claws and Forever, because she's putting out a new track every week.
Okay, is it bad? This is what I was going to say at the beginning of the podcast. I feel like I'm outgrowing her. Like, I feel like I listen to her songs and I'm like, am I getting old? Or is this not good?
Well, I mean, the answer is yes. But there's nothing wrong. You know, you can't prevent yourself.
Okay. You're not that much younger than me, sir.
I kind of can connect with that. I don't think I'm like fully there, but I do think that, you know, she's kind of a younger vibe, even though she's older than me, I think. But I mean, I've also been a Charlie XCX fan for, at this point, like literally maybe 10 years.
Do you like the new songs?
I remember her from MySpace. So I know that she kind of will continue to evolve, and that's what I like about her. But I think that right now the songs are like solid. I like Forever a lot. I like Claws a lot too, actually. But I am kind of interested to see where she's going to go next, because I do think that right now her sound is kind of like, she's putting out a lot of music. And I think it's cool that she's doing a full quarantine album.
Yeah.
And like a couple of artists have done that now. Like the concept of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just think they all kind of sound like songs on Pop 2, but they're not as good.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely less refined.
Yeah.
She's not like, you know, sending this probably to her whole
like, I just mean like the everything. Even like the chorus is like how those songs made me feel. I'm not feeling that when I listen to these songs, and that's why I guess I'm missing, and that's why I'm like, am I getting old, or is this just like,
or is like her sound getting old?
Yeah,
maybe a combination, but I like it.
I'm excited for the album. I'm excited to
her album comes out, I think, like, does it come out this week or next week? Next, but
very soon.
Yeah, and it was all composed in the last 2 months, half of it on Instagram Live. So I think that's cool. I think it's an innovative way to kind of capture or, you know, kind of grab interest during this time. That's kind of weird for everybody. So
yeah,
I'm interested. I'm just not fully sold.
Yeah.
Kelly Rowland, Coffee.
I loved the music video.
The video is gorgeous. The song is kind of, it's good.
I kind of forgot what the song sounds like, so I don't want to say if it's good or bad because I don't remember.
It's kind of horny.
I love that for her. I love horny Kelly Rowland.
But also thinking about it, Kelly Rowland is kind of horny.
Motivation?
So, yeah. Or even like Ice was super horny too. Ooh. And like isn't that the one with Lil Wayne? Is it Ice? I think so. And then
look, because I know Lil Wayne's on Motivation.
Wait, I might be lying. If I made a fool of myself just now, just forget about it. But
drag him to hell, stands.
The three Kelly Rowland stands. Okay. But it's a cute song. The video is beautiful, though. We love seeing brown skin girls owning their sexuality. Absolutely.
So beautiful.
This one's just for you. Jeremy Zucker, Love Is Not Dying, the album. So give me the elevator pitch on Jeremy Zucker. I know that's your boo.
I wish I would have prepared for this or something.
You've been training for weeks.
I'm obsessed with him, weirdly. I found him with Not Your Friend on some Spotify playlist. And then I took the deep dive into his music and I like every single song.
I like the new song.
They're all sad boy bops, very minimalistic, but which is cool fucking. Do you know how Billie Eilish and Phineas like to do weird sounds in the backgrounds and using weird instruments and then pitching them up and adding things to them to make it part of the song? Mm. Jeremy kind of does that too, but they're all just about him being sad about a breakup. And they just fucking, his voice is so like how he structures his songs and how he emotes in his voice just punches you in the heart. And I just am obsessed with those feelings. He's filling all my sad boy holes right now. And, I love him so much.
Yeah. I think the reason that I haven't really listened to that full album, because I know you liked a lot and I was planning to kind of listen to it. I just don't have any room for any extra sad in my life. I got enough of my own.
See, but sad about generally existing versus relationship stuff, it's a different kind of sad, so it distracts me.
That's fair.
Have you listened to Not Your Friend?
I'm sad about both. Just kidding, there's no relationships. I have heard Not Your Friend, and I do like that one. And he also did, there was another one a couple months ago, I want to say maybe it came out in March.
Always Off Here,
before the album. It was...
Either Always Off Here, Julia... What was the other?
I lost it. I don't know what it's called. But it'll come back to me eventually in a dream and then I'll wake you up.
But y'all, my favorite song on the album right now is it's a three-way tie between Somebody Loves You, Lake House. Oh my god, fuck me up, Lake House.
Oh, Somebody Loves You is it. That's the one I like.
Somebody Loves You. That song is so
I'm
trying
cute.
Not to. And Hell or Flying, I've been listening to a lot too. Those are my three recs. If you haven't listened to Not Your Friend yet, sorry, I'm obsessed with this album. I think it's great. Love is shaking. He could never.
I was going to say, I don't know what distinguishes him from Love. If I saw them both walking down the street, sorry to these men, but there's room for more than one in the sad boy market. One more thing for the speed round.
Yes.
And last song is The Reunion. A-Town's Finest, that's Atlanta for those of you who are young. Usher, Lil Jon, and Ludacris, Sex Beat.
Oh yeah,
it was so disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, I had such high hopes. They shouldn't have gotten me excited about it.
Yeah. It was like, because we've had, we've had Lovers and Friends, two excellent songs that my hopes were
sky high. And they just didn't do it. It just, it's not even like, you know, like Lovers and Friends is like a great like sex song. So it's not even like they could only do upbeat songs. But like putting sex in the title is, first of all, it's kind of corny.
Yeah.
Coming from three, like at this point,
40 to 50 year old men.
Yeah. It's just like kind of creepy a little bit. And it's not to say that they're not still sexy, because I probably still would, at least with Usher and Lil Jon. Usher and Ludacris. I don't know what Lil Jon looks like. I've never seen him.
Without those glasses?
All I can picture is a giant pair of shades and a grill. I don't know what his face looks like at all.
That's real.
But but yeah, that song just didn't do it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't sexy. It wasn't funny. It wasn't like, it wasn't a bop. It was just,
I forgot what it sounded like.
Next.
Yeah.
I just remember Usher like saying, sex beat, too much. Yeah. Sex beat.
No, nope. I listened to it like, once and I discarded it.
Yeah, it's sad. They could have been great if they had just done it like 10 years earlier.
And better.
And much better. All right, that's all I've got for our speed round this week.
That was fun.
Yeah, I think we should do something else like that. Another like,
we sped through so many things.
Game. Now you have all of our opinions about that everything. You didn't ask for.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're here for, to force our opinions on you.
And you're going to like them.
And you love it. You wouldn't be listening this long, at least.
Yeah, for real.
But don't turn it off. We're almost done. So what have you been listening to recently? What are your new faves?
I mean, God, what have I been listening to? I don't know. Give me a second. I'm pulling up my Spotify play.
Okay. The sound of my own thoughts.
No. What I've been listening to. Okay, do y'all watch that show, Songland?
I love Songland. You know I love Songland.
Yes, it's like,
you're probably not asking me, but
on ABC, I love Songland. Yeah, songwriters writing songs for like pop stars,
and it's a really good insight into the kind of process. Writer's room process of creating a song.
The song that I'm obsessed with is "Champagne Night" by Lady Antebellum.
Me too.
those little country girls snapped.
They sing down like. They can both like sing their asses off. Yeah. But like the old ladies in my church would say, they can blow.
Yes. And the song is so good.
It is. It's drinking really beer cute. It's on catchy.
A champagne night. And it's a mood. It's relatable. I mean, they can't really relate to it because they're rich. I was like, you're not drinking PBRs.
Yeah, they're drinking Moet Chandon. Yeah.
But it's just so fun. And this is like, if summer was not canceled, I'd be playing this all summer.
Yeah, it's a very like
all these little gays
beach with a beer kind of vibe.
Oh, it reminds me of Texas. Oh,
the harmonies are tight. It makes me want to like drive around in the back of somebody's truck and like yell at, maybe at someone, or maybe just generally.
Wow, full Caucasian fantasy.
Yeah, just like very Duck Dynasty tees.
Yeah.
But like more fun.
Yes. It's such a great song. So that's my first one.
That's a good one. I have been super into Haim's singles lately.
Oh, yeah.
So you might recall Haim as the trio of Jewish sisters from the LA area who do their best Fleetwood Mac impression on most of their albums. Now, I say that with love. I am a huge Haim stan. In fact, if you had asked me at any point between like probably 2012 and like 2016 what my favorite band was, because I don't listen to a huge number of bands, but I would immediately say Haim, and they are consistently great. But they have a single coming out, or they have an album coming out rather, in a couple of weeks, maybe in June, I want to say. But the singles they've been putting out are really solid lately, and The most recent one is I Know Alone. It's kind of a shift for them. It's a little glitchy, a little more electronic production than kind of their normal kind of Americana rock based song. But still stays pretty true to them, like lyrically and like, you know, harmonically. But yeah, it's really cool. And, you know, it actually reminds me a lot of Christine and the Queens. In terms of like the direction they went on this particular single. So I don't know if that's a, you know, a harbinger for the album or not, or if that's kind of something that, you know, they'll be kind of leaning more into, but I'm really kind of happy and excited to see them branching out a little bit. But it's still with their like typical collaborators, so it's not like, you know, they pulled in some you know, new producer or anything like that. It's with Ariel Rechtscheid and Rostam Batman.
Yeah, the guy from Vampire Weekend. Yeah. Oh, he did Clairo's album. I love him.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they are working, and they've worked with him since their first album too. So, you know, their typical team, but they go in cool directions, and I love just the sound of their voices together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been real into that lately.
I'll check that out because they're great. I love them.
Yeah.
My second song is, it might be a shocker out there.
Don't you say Tootsie Slide.
No, I was going to say I Love Me by Demi Lovato. But the emo version.
Yes!
The emo version.
Oh, it took me straight back to La La Land.
Yes. Did you forget?
Oh, don't forget. Yep.
It's so good. It changes the whole...
Remember December?
Oh, God. It changes the deep cuts. I Love Me is a corny-ass, like, wannabe Lizzo single. And it was not great. Because she doesn't have the Lizzo charisma. That's what I keep saying. She does not have the Lizzo charisma to pull off a song that corny. A pop song that corny. But when you take the angst from that song and put those 2008 rock guitar and drums over it, punk pop shit, it's so good. And like, it fills out all that angst so well. I'm obsessed. It makes so much more sense as an emo song.
Isn't it featuring Travis Barker too? Yeah. From Blink-182?
Is that what he's from?
Yeah.
I always think of him as Katy Perry's ex.
Well, I mean, he's that too. That's how you know you're Katy Cat.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm obsessed with that song.
He's got musical, you know, a resume of his own.
Maybe.
And yes, it is so much better as an emo song. Because when I heard that, I was like, oh, that's what this needed.
Yes. They should have released that in the first place.
It should have been the single.
Yes.
Like, as that version, it would be so much better, because the regular version is just, like, not it at all. And I was so bored by it. And I was kind of excited to hear her next singles after that Grammy performance of Anyone.
Yeah.
And that was just, like...
It was anticlimactic. Okay. She should have left this one, for sure.
And then the Sam Smith song, too, is just, like... So she's flopping this era? Cool. Yeah. Okay, moving on.
Sam Smith song was a choice.
So it was, yeah, much better. I Love Me emo version, absolutely. My next song is actually a kind of left field choice, but for those of you who know who Aluna George is, they're actually on hiatus. So one commonly held misconception, Aluna George was actually two people. It was Aluna and George. George was the producer. George is not her last name. But Aluna is actually doing a solo gig now, where she's kind of branching out and working with other producers outside of George. And she just put out her first solo single. And apparently, I looked up her Instagram and stuff. She had a baby. She's been like doing stuff. But the single's called Body Pump. And it's pretty true to their sound. But I loved Aluna George. Like, I bought their first album, like a physical copy of it that was signed by them when I was in high school.
Wow.
So So I was really into Luna George, and I'll support her no matter what she does. But the single's cute, and I'm really happy to see her kind of doing her own thing. So you probably know them from the You Know You Like It remix. Who did that remix? It was it DJ Snake? I think it was DJ Snake. But you'd know the song if you heard it. But you know, Luna's great. She's a talented girl. She's making her own thing now. It's a groove. It's got a nice little rhythm to it. So check it out.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that. I'm going to have to I'm realizing how long it's been since we've talked about music.
I know, right? It's sad.
Yeah. Well, my last song is by this DJ named Bank, B-A-Y-N-K.
Yes.
And I just found his EP from last year. And a song called Settle with Sinead Harnett.
Sinead.
Is that how you say it?
Uh-huh.
Sinead.
It's a very Irish name, I think.
The H is not there at all.
Sinead O'Connor?
Sinead Harnett.
Harnett.
Yeah. Harnett. Yeah, but the song's called Settle. It's incredible. It's very
her
like
voice, dude.
Yeah, her voice. You showed me Sinead O'Harnett. Yeah. Sinead O?
Sinead Harnett.
Sinead, I'm forgetting her name now. Now that you corrected me. But you showed me her. And yeah, I've been following her. I thought pretty closely, but I missed a single. This song feels very Clean Bandit, if Clean Bandit were sadder. And I like that. It's a chill,
yes,
chill, like summery bop about if you're all in this relationship, I'm all in it too. And it just feels so good. Her voice is just like, honey, I want to see.
Excellent.
It's just a great, 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 great fucking song.
Her vocals are like top notch.
Yeah.
So good. And my last song is my homegirl, another, it's very similar, like probably in the same vein as Sinead Harnett, Jessie Ware.
Oh yeah.
He has been putting out singles for her. I think her album's dropping in June. And she has leaned like full like disco funk on this one, but not in like a Dua Lipa way, kind of more of like a classic disco way. Actually more house. It's like disco house. Yeah. But it's perfect. Like every single so far has been so fucking good. And the most recent one is Save a Kiss. And it's just perfect. It's just like the best, like, you know, love on the dance floor type of song that you just kind of forget yourself and can kind of move to. Like, I just want to do drugs and get lost. I want to do that most days, but like especially when I hear the songs. But all the singles are great, so I'm just recommending them all. There's Save a Kiss, there's Ooh La La came out recently, Spotlight is so good, Mirage is amazing, Adore You, just listen to every single she's put out.
There's five singles already.
Yeah.
Like Spotlight just came out. Oh geez.
Well, I mean the singles for this album have been coming out for like a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
It's like one of those that's been delayed. Yeah. But everything is great. And now the album's actually coming out next month and you need to go ahead and get into it and be ahead of the curve because I can just tell that it's going to be great because her albums are always great. So check that.
I will get into it. You're so right, Ryan.
I love when you say that. No idea. That's what I live to hear. And that's the show.
Yeah. What? How did we close these things?
I don't know. Should we blow a kiss? We say thanks for tuning in. You know, we are gonna bring you some consistent quarantine content because we know you need it. Because we need it.
Do you want to say it? You can say that. You can say it.
And you know, you just use this. You know. And follow us on our socials. Taylor's doing some really great new reaction videos on his YouTube channel, which is the same as his Twitter and Instagram and all that. Cornbread says. I am at Lion Roared, which is Ryan Lord with the L and the R switched. And we're going to be talking more shit next week and giving it to you every season.
She brings
this
it
is
to
season
you every
two,
time.
Also. We decided that.
Yes, this is season two, a new era of Only Stands.
So, like, new and thrilling things to come. I don't know what those things are yet, but they're coming.
They're on the way.
Choo choo. Cut that out.